Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the Belarus Olympic athlete Kristina Tymanowskaya has reportedly received a humanitarian visa from Poland. This follows a dramatic situation at the airport in Tokyo, where Tymanowskaya refused to board a flight to Minsk. Later, the Japanese authorities assisted her gaining access to the Polish embassy in Tokyo today. Well, for more of all of this, we're joined now by Professor Donika Obiakon from the School of Law and Government in DCU. And Donika, thank you very much for joining us this evening. A really extraordinary situation that has unfolded in the last couple of days. Can you tell us, as far as you can understand it, exactly what happened here?
Sure, Sarah. This athlete, a sprinter, Kristina Tymanowskaya, she primarily is known for 100 meters and 200 meter sprints. And it seems that she was ordered to participate in a 400 meter relay race without her knowledge. And she essentially went on social media and she criticized this decision. She blamed the coaching staff and what she called very abstractly kind of very cool bosses. And then the Belarusian state came upon her with great force. The media there started a campaign against her, saying she had disgraced the nation. But more sinister was the campaign of the Belarusian Olympic Committee, which said that she was being withdrawn from the games because doctors were concerned about her emotional and psychological state, which is an old kind of tradition in many of these post-Soviet countries of equating any kind of criticism with being psychologically unstable. There's a tape circulating around the internet which seems to be genuine. It seems that she may have recorded it herself. It's a conversation, it seems, between herself and the relevant coaches. And it's quite chilling in many respects. I mean, they were putting a lot of pressure on her to go home. They were saying simply not to put up a fight, not to write anything, not to make any comments. And at one point, one of them says to her, and she's sobbing, by the way, throughout the recording. It's only an audio recording, there's no video. And they say, look, go home to your parents or elsewhere, let this situation go. Otherwise, the more you move, it's like a fly in a spider web. The more it turns around, the more it gets tangled. They also stress that people like themselves might lose their jobs, obviously, because she was criticizing them on social media. And they were stressing that nothing would happen to her if she went back to Belarus. But it's clear that she not only did not believe this, because, as you've mentioned, she's now looked for a humanitarian visa and has been granted one by the Polish government. Which she says to them at one point, again through sobs, she says, look, do you think that after this, I'd want to continue doing sports? I'm not trying to prove anything. I just want to run. And that's been quite clear throughout, that the government hasn't been able to, and this is characteristic of the regime, hasn't been able to differentiate criticism, which is what she was doing. She was only making a criticism of the sporting coaches and kind of treasonous behavior that's designed to undermine the state. And this is why they have overreacted in such a way. And now she's essentially, the UN, refugee agency is involved. She's essentially an asylum seeker, and you can imagine what a contrast of emotions this must have been for her, preparing for the Olympics like all other athletes, and then finding herself, being pressurized by the people who are supposed to help her, and then having to wonder about her family. Her husband has taken refuge in Ukraine with their child, but the grandmother of the athlete has said that her parents are being threatened now by the Belarusian security forces. So this must have all been bearing down on her when she was being asked to make the decision of whether to get on that plane, as she was being ordered to do by her coaches and by her colleagues, or to do what she has done. So it's a remarkable, I guess, fortitude that she's had to display in the last few days.
And what has been the reaction to all of this in Belarus?
Well, in Belarus, as I said, it's very much dominated by the state media. There isn't really an independent media as such. That which exists is on mainly social media. And that's where, for example, that audio tape has been largely circulating. The state media, as I said, has been criticizing her and saying that she has done damage to the nation. The regime has only hardened under pressure. Next Monday, it'll be 1 year since the fraudulent elections, which triggered these widespread protests within Belarus. And since since then, the prisons have been overflowing with people arrested on very minor charges, from blogging to having the old Belarusian flag, peaceful protesters. So, and of course, Belarus has been in the news recently because of the Ryanair flight that has been, which was commandeered to gain access to Roman Protasevich, the journalist and blogger. And I think there's something similar here in a way. The regime is sending a message. I mean, because sometimes we think that this must be a PR disaster for Russia, but arguably these kinds of actions are aimed less at the international community and aimed more at, you know, people living in Belarus. You know, look what happens when you disagree with your superiors. You know, that dissent comes with huge and disproportionate punishments.
And yet I wonder, Donika, with this happening, and then as you mentioned with Protasevich a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking to you about it on the show actually, and the Ryanair flight and all of that. Can the international community still stand back? I know they haven't, I suppose, in a sense, in this way, with Poland apparently offering Tymoshenko Tymoshenskaya some asylum. But can the international community continue to stand back, do you think, when you see things like this happening?
Well, the International Olympic Committee has said that they are looking for detailed explanations now, and they will determine over the upcoming days what their next steps will be. There have been some actions taken against Belarus in recent times. I mean, they haven't been allowed, for example, the father and son, who, by the way, are the... So the current president of the Belarus National Olympic Committee is Viktor Lukashenko, who's the eldest son of the current president of Belarus. And mm-hmm. he succeeded his father, Alexander Lukashenko, who'd been in that position since 1997. So essentially, politics and sport are inextricably linked. And they were denied the right to participate in the Olympics personally, and also the International Hockey Championship, which Belarus was supposed to host, was also withdrawn. They were stripped of that honour, which was a personal blow to Lukashenko, who advertises the fact that he's very much into hockey. But, you know, this is all the more important, I guess, in Belarus because of the intersection, as I said, between sport and politics. It has echoes of the Cold War to it, when, you know, all those regimes, those communist regimes, of which Belarus, of course, was part of the Soviet Union, used to invest huge amounts of energy and resources into producing gold medalists. I mean, we might forget now, I'm old enough to remember the Cold War. In 1980, for example, East Germany, which no longer exists, got 42 gold medals compared to only 5 for Britain and 6 for France. You know, so they've and Belarus gets far more medals than its population might suggest. On average, it would get about 13 or 14 medals per Olympics. It's only got a population of 9 million. In terms of what can be done, generally, there's a tendency not to exclude countries from the Olympics. I mean, the idea is that sport should be inclusive rather than exclusive. So they tend to target personalities, political personalities, officials, rather than athletes. That it would be rare. Russia is a rare case, actually. In recent times, there have been sanctions taken against the country. But it's an ongoing situation. And as I said, the International Olympic Committee are looking into what steps they will take next.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us with your analysis of it. That's Professor Donika O'Bakon from the School of Law and Government in DCU.